Today we're looking at a praise psalm, or Psalm 111. And Psalm 111 is what they call a hallelujah psalm. Hallelujah, give me a hallelujah. Excellent. You sounded pretty good. I won't have to get you to do that again. Hallelujah is the word for praise. Praise. And you know what? Yah, hallelujah. It's short for Yahweh. Right? So put it together. Praise Yah. That was the personal name of God. That was the name that Israel didn't just call him God. They called him his personal name, Yahweh. And we see that. And every time you see in your Bible, in the Old Testament, capital letters L-O-R-D, that is when the word Yahweh, or when the name of Yahweh, is used. So look out for that as you see it. Now this is a block of Psalms called the Hallelujah Psalms. Have a look. Psalm 111 starts with Hallelujah, or praise the Lord. Psalm 12, what's that say? Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Psalm 113, it's at the top and the tail. It's the start and the end. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I was waiting for you to sing along with me. Psalm 114 is a bit different, but it doesn't have a hallelujah. It's the non-hallelujah psalm, but you can check that out later and have a closer look at that. And then if you go through to Psalm 115, well, it starts off with, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory. That was a psalm that Fee and I had on our wedding day on our service sheet. But at the end of that psalm, did you notice at the end of that psalm, Psalm 115 says, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And again, that hallelujah, the shorter version, we've swapped the Y for a J, because you know how sometimes in different languages don't have the same letters. And have you ever heard Jesus called Yeshua? That's Old Testament Joshua. We used to put the J there, Joshua, Jesus. But going along Psalm 16, what does Psalm 16 end with? Come on. Thank you. Psalm 17, what does it start with? What does it end with? You got it. And Psalm 18 doesn't say hallelujah, but it's, did you notice there? It's the psalm that's not praise Yahweh, but thank Yahweh. Very close idea, isn't it? Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to Yahweh. Now, scene goes on in the next block, and that's a longer psalm. So we're not doing that one today. And it uses the letters of the Hebrew alphabet and each letter to give an opportunity to praise in the Lord. You can have a look at that sometime yourself. That's kind of like an acronym there. But Psalm 111 then is what I've called the acronym psalm. And it's the Hallelujah psalm. We use it for ABCH as an acronym, don't we? We use it for area as well. And I want to challenge our young people out there. If you've got something to write on, I want you to write your name like I've written my name up there. And I want you to write the letter of each your name and then something starting with that letter that you can praise the Lord for. Now, I have two Chupa Chups at the end. If you want to share that with me, I have two for our last two people to show me that. And anyone, actually, all of you, I'll encourage you all to think about how you could praise the Lord with your name and using the letters from your name. But let's have a look as we begin 2020, and as we begin this psalm, back in verse 1, if you're there with me, if you got it. Hallelujah, praise Yahweh. I will extol the Lord Yahweh with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Say that as 2020 begins with all your heart. You're going to praise the Lord. You may wish to, you may want to, you may hope to, you may have woke up this morning and thought, I want to praise the Lord with all my heart. And then the kids got you angry and you lost your cool with the kids. Or you said something rough to your spouse before you came. Or driving here, you're late so you're driving fast. Or you're stuck behind one of those Sunday drivers. Yeah, just be careful about what you think about those Sunday drivers, because it could be someone here. Wish to, you may want to, you may hope to, but you may have blown it with all your heart before you get to church, right? It's easy to praise God too when you come to the council of the upright or in his assembly, isn't it? When we're all singing. It's much harder to do it the rest of the week, the other 166 hours that you're not at church. I reckon then reminds me and points us to Jesus, because he's the only one that loved the Lord with all his heart. You know, in Deuteronomy 5, it says, the Lord God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. And Jesus picks it up in Matthew 22 when he's asked, what's the greatest commandment? And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. See, friends, my good news message is that Jesus is the one who has fulfilled that. And he has done it all. So we can be free from the guilt. We can be free from the shame, and we can get on with actually loving the Lord with our heart. And if you trust Jesus, if you trust Christ and his wholehearted love, then what happens is he credits that to our accounts. Isn't that a great news message? Isn't that the good news that we celebrate in Jesus? Wholehearted love on our behalf, which is credited to us who trust him. Well, let's look through the rest of the psalm. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to bounce through very quickly, verse by verse. So you'll have to go back and have a look yourself. You'll have to go back and share with others what you or stood out to you. But just let's look through the first three verses. And these are three good reasons why you can praise God. Three good reasons. I'm going to give them to you, starting in verse 2. Have a look there with me. Great are the works of Yahweh. They are pondered by all who delight in them. This is a God who is great. I don't know if you think of God as great. There was a man named Herod the Great. He was around when Jesus was born. Remember Herod the Great? He was actually famous for his architecture and his building. He was famous for building many things in Israel. One of them was this great palace that I visited and saw part of in 2018. And the other great and probably most famous one is the Temple Mount. And I saw parts of that as well as we went under the Western Wall. And the Temple Western Wall stone is the biggest stone in the world used for building. Now, it's something like 500, they estimate 517 tons of stone. One big, long, continuous chunk of stone. Go figure of how they got it there or how they put it there. You can come up with your theories. Other people have. But that's like a fully loaded jumbo jet weight moved and put in place. People say he's great. But we're talking about God who is great. Not in building structures, but great in his rescue of his people. He divided the sea to bring his people through. Great in his rescuing abilities. Great in his works of saving his people. We see that in Jesus' life as well. As he saves people from and his great works in their life, in their sickness that they have and their infirmities that they have. You read about them in the Gospels. We see it in not only his life, but in his death, the great work of rescuing people from their sin as he pays for sin on the cross. That's the first one we see. We can praise God because he is great. Secondly, he is glorious. Did you notice it in verse 3? Glorious and majestic are your deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. Deeds, full of splendor, in other words. We don't use that word much, do we? Sometimes we use it when we talk about splendor in the grass. I don't know if you've been there or how splendorous it is. I haven't been there myself. But this is the splendor of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, which was seen on Mount Sinai as he delivers his word to his people. With glorious picture of Jesus, or three of his followers did, on that mountain as well. When they were up the mountain at his transfiguration, they saw Jesus in all his glory. Glorious God, friends. We can praise him for that. Verse 4, we see that he is gracious in his character. of compassion and grace. Have a look there with me. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord, Yahweh, is gracious and compassionate. What's the difference between compassion and grace? Well, I love the story of Les Mis, that play, and the character Jean Valjean. Did I get it right? And Jean Valjean had stolen some food for his family, ended up in prison, escaped from there. He ended up in taking refuge, or a bishop took him in. And the bishop had compassion on his situation and his circumstance. Jean Valjean decided to take advantage of the compassion he had been shown. He made off with silverware. The police caught up with him, brought him back to the bishop's house. And in front of the bishop at his door, the bishop again had compassion on him in seeing him in his situation, had mercy on him, but he also showed grace to him, gave him beyond what he deserved. He went and grabbed another bit of the silverware and said, "You forgot to take this bit." He gave him better than he deserved. God is gracious. Can we praise him? We can. We're moving on to four things, four P's of why we can praise God, which we see in the next verse, the start of verse 5. Have a look there with me. He provides food for those who fear him. He provides for his people in the desert water when they needed it, bread, manna and meat, quail when they needed it. And I wonder if you have taken stock of what you can praise God for lately in his provision. For the 16 fish that he provided for us the other night. I don't know what for you, the rain, 19 mils did I hear, that he provided for us. Maybe take a stock and a list of the provision that the Lord has given to you and praise him for it. Second part of verse 5 goes on to say, he remembers his covenants forever. Here's a God who keeps promises. He made a promise to Adam. He made a promise to Abraham. He made a promise to Noah. He made a promise to David. And he makes a promise to you in the Lord Jesus. He is a covenant-keeping God, a promise-giving, promise-keeping God. Praise him. First, we see another P that we can praise him for. It says he has shown his people the power of his works, and his works are mentioned there again. But he is a powerful God to bring them into the promised lands when it seemed impossible, when these enemies seemed too strong. But it goes on to say there, he gives them the lands of other nations. He is a powerful God whom we can praise. Fourthly, and we're skipping through quickly, aren't we? But follow along with me. He's a God who we can praise because he has precepts. He has teachings. He has principles which he has laid down and which he has given to us. Look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119 talks about his promises as well, his covenant keeping. Something like 14 times it's mentioned that I'll meditate on his covenants. I'll rejoice in his covenants. But it also talks about his precepts. That in Psalm 119, that longest psalm, talks about he's laid down his precepts. I want to meditate on them. I long for his precepts. I sought after. Is that you? In verse 69 of Psalm 119, it says, I will keep with all my heart his precepts. That's a challenge, right? God, that he has given us his teachings. We see his teachings working out in the life of Jesus, the precepts which he has given to us, which he has laid down for us. Well, we have two extra things you can praise God for. Are you still with me? All those say hallelujah. Praise the Lord, he's nearly finished. First, have a look with me. It says there, they are steadfast. It's talking about his precepts forever and ever. Done in faithfulness. Oh yeah, I wanted to pick up the bit about forever and ever. It talks about his eternalness. His goes on forever and ever. That's mentioned like four times in this psalm. And I don't know if you thought much about eternity. In 2000, what did we have plastered over the bridge, the fireworks? How long did eternity last for on the bridge? Maybe a minute. Maybe it got to a minute. I don't know. But it didn't go on into eternity, did it? It lit up for a little while and it was gone. And it's a difficult concept for us to sometimes think of, that God and his goodness goes on into eternity. Those that follow him do too as well, with him. My son, and as we were walking across the beach while we were away last week, he said to me, he's trying to work out this eternity thing with God. And for someone who's grown for their life and everything they see is change and is temporal, it's hard to kind of grasp, right? And he was wrestling with that. But I encourage you to continue to wrestle with God's eternal nature. Verse 9, which goes on to say he provides. There's that idea of his provision again. Redemption, that's the idea of saving, and he's paid for. He saves and pays for his people. He's redeemed them. He has ordained his covenant, mentioned again there, forever. That's the eternal bit mentioned again. But I wanted to highlight this last bit of that verse. His holy and awesome is his name. His name is holy. It's set apart. It's separate. He is awesome, deserving of praise. And when you have an understanding of his awesomeness, it leads us to an healthy fear of the Lord. Have a look at verse 10 to finish off. Fear Yahweh, it says there. Lord, the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts, mentioned again there, have good understanding. To him belong eternal praise. Fear the Lord is Proverbs 1, mentioned in Proverbs 1 and 9. The fear of Yahweh is wisdom and where wisdom starts. And I encourage you to have a healthy fear of the Lord, because he is an awesome God to praise into eternity. Now, to finish off, I wanted to get us kind of thinking about that. This is the psalm for life, because we're going to praise God on into eternity. So we better get practicing here, right? And we're going to do that soon. We're going to do that next in song. We can do that saying hallelujah to the Lord. In 2020, we're going to think about how we can bring praise or glory to God as a church. How he can bring and magnify his name. And maybe you could list 10 things to go with those 10 verses. Here's another challenge. 10 things for you to list today that you can praise God for. You might want to write it down and put it in a song. You might want to put it in a prayer. You might want to write it as a letter to the Lord. But I encourage you to do that with this psalm. We'll sing in a moment, as I said. And it's easy to sing together in the assembly of God's people. But it's hard, isn't it, to keep focus on who you're singing about. And so I encourage you to try to keep and maintain focus as we sing a block of songs after this. But I want to say also that this is the psalm for life. Because when you walk out of here, and the rest of the days before you get back here next week, you can bring praise to God in your life. That is the hard bit, right? When you're mowing the lawn and you row your ankle, when you're cleaning out the rainwater tank from that sludge that's in the bottom. Like I was doing yesterday, thinking, how should I praise the Lord as I do this? I praised the Lord when I finished and it was all clean, and God sent the rain and it's filled up now with clean water. Praise the Lord. But there's hard times to praise the Lord too when you've lost a spouse. You are struggling with sickness, when you are feeling flat, when you're feeling depressed. Well, let me encourage you to go to that lament psalm, Psalm 43. Psalm, he actually moves out of that lament. He gets to a place to say, why are you so downcast, my soul? Put your hope in Yahweh. Look, focus on him. And it says there, and I will praise, yet praise the Lord. Get to a place where Job got to. Lost his family, lost the finance, lost it all. His friends were no help to him. His wife wasn't help to him. Is the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, yet I'll praise the name of the Lord. You praise the name of the Lord with me.